This is KGVM Radio, 95.9 on your dial.
I'm Marion.
And I'm Jim. We are your hosts for this weekly program, Meditation to Self-Realization.
Our intention here is to do interviews, guided meditations, and share teachings of Hindu philosophy. We will be discussing how we can reach our greatest potential through self-realization.
This week we want to focus on a theme that will be taken from a book by Prithviji and Krishnaji, The Four Sacred Secrets.
So Jim, before we get started, I'd like to lead us all in a short breath pause.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
To relax and become centered.
Alright.
So let's take some slow, deep breaths and be very conscious of your inhale and your chest rising, and an exhale with your chest falling. And take a couple breaths this way. Relax your facial muscles. Relax your shoulders. Be sure your lips are closed as you inhale slowly and exhale slowly. And now take another inhale, and on your exhale, slowly open your eyes and join us.
That's nice. Thanks, Marion.
You're welcome.
All right. Tonight we have our three guests are Leah, Linda, and Maggie. Maggie we interviewed a couple shows ago, and Maggie was one of the several people that went to tapas in India at Akam. And so all three of the people, Linda, Maggie, and Leo, are going to share some of their experiences. And just so we can, you'll know somewhat of what they're talking about, Marion, maybe you can explain what tapa is all about.
Tapas is a, now, I haven't done it, but from what I know about it is that it's a 21-day silent retreat at a temple called Akam in India, and there's no phones, and then no talking, and basically, it sounds like there's a lot of meditations and then processes in order to clear records or subconscious and past life traumas.
Sounds like a real inner journey.
An inner journey. If you're quiet all the time, you know you're not being very outward, you're immersed inside. So it'll be interesting to hear what Maggie, Leah, and Linda have to say today.
All right, so I wonder if we afterwards, if we want to do maybe a little reading from the Sacred Secrets, we should have enough time for.
See if we can get them on board, and we can go ahead and start. And Linda or Maggie, would you like to begin?
I would be delighted to.
Great.
Well, for sure, everyone should go to tapas. Just right off the bat, there's that. So I was fortunate enough to be there for all 4 weeks. And it is also not for the faint of heart. It is quite rigorous. And I was super happy that my 65-year-old body with 2 joint replacements could do it. And, you know, through the grace of God, for sure. And it is set up so beautifully. Oh, my gosh. And the care and attention to every detail, and so many blessings from Preetiji and Krishnaji. I mean, I completely get the importance of having a spiritual master, those spiritual masters that can carry that state and give it to us and share it with us. And the state is equanimity. The Sanskrit, I'll probably murder the pronunciation, but it's sit pragnaya. And it's a state of unperturbed calm. And I'm there. I mean, I have that as my baseline. And for sure, life happens and perturbances pop up, but they don't linger. I don't ruminate on them. They come and they go, and that's that. And it's hard to know, you know, when you're in this beautiful bubble of the campuses and Acom and the sacred forest and the places we went, so obvious there, and how will that translate when you get home is a different story, because you really don't know, or at least I don't know until I get there. And I can say I had an interesting experience, like, right freaking when my plane landed in Seattle. I'm in Idaho, and I'm on the state licensing board for acupuncture. And we had a really critical meeting, and I had contacted them in December and said, I'm going to be gone. Contacted them, like, you know, all this stuff. Well, they missed all that. And because we're short a couple board members, without me, they didn't have a quorum for this meeting. So my plane touched down, the meeting started. My friend Margaret Joy loaned me some earbuds. I plugged them into my phone. I'm literally going through the customs line with airport noise and announcements and kids screaming and, you know, the whole 9 yards. I'm in a totally perfect state of unperturbed calm, completely focused on the meeting. I literally get to the customs desk, and I'm like, okay, you guys, I kind of have to hang up for this part. I'll call you back in 15 minutes. I do the customs thing. The guy's like, you were in India for a month and you didn't buy anything? I'm like, yeah, I was at a retreat. He's like, okay, well, welcome home. I'm through. do all the luggage stuff that has to happen. Get through that. Plug back into the phone. I'm on the call for another hour. I haven't had food or water or potty break. And again, I was totally focused. Everything I said was pertinent and important, and we got the job done. It was remarkable. I mean, it was such a testament to that state. Because not to mention, we had just traveled for, by then, I don't know, 28 hours or something. So, you know, not like the sharpest tool in the kit by that time anyway, but it worked. And I got off that call, and I'm like, holy moly, what just happened? So that was
you know, that was like a real world experience. Back here I am back in this world. And as far as being in India, oh my gosh, so many profound and magical and mystical experiences and enlightened experiences. And that part, I mean, it's lovely to have that. Absolutely. And I also got the importance that those are just moments in time. You know, those are just little blips. But the really important focus is nurturing the state of equanimity and unperturbed calm. I mean, it's super fun to go, oh, wow, blah, blah, you know, that was amazing. But the focus is this unperturbed calm to continue to grow and nurture. And literally, for me, one of the big insights was how hardwired our brains are for perturbance, basically. I mean, we are so hardwired for these states of duality and craving and ego and mind. And these were the four liberations that we got in India. And so much of the practices were just being still, really still, calm, 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 still, body still. And for me, I could see the importance of that to literally rewire that hard, you know, that hard rewiring that we come in with. Oh my gosh, it's generational. It's all of humanity. I mean, we've been in these states for probably since at least the Industrial Revolution, maybe before. So it's a lot. And that's a lot of, you know, redoing that needs to happen. And, but it feels, for me, I sometimes think of the brain like a record, you know, like those grooves just get worn in. That neural wiring just gets, and it feels like those grooves are filling in and new neural pathways are forming that are so much more clear and functional and hooked in to divine creative intelligence, universal intelligence, again, whatever label you want to stick on that. And it's, you know, so I'm in the present. I can plan for the future. Great. May or may not happen. Great. I don't really reminisce or ruminate about the past much. You know, if I need information that comes from there, it arises. So it's absolutely remarkable and incredibly beautiful. And I'm beyond grateful, you know, to have had the opportunity to go to India. And I'm super grateful I kind of got to do it all in one chunk, because it certainly deepened over the 4 weeks I was there. You know, the first few days, of course, there's jet lag and time change. And I think just the stress from the last couple of years with COVID, I didn't realize how much that was on my system. And so slowing down to let that peel off is certainly, I mean, I felt like I did a huge detox that first week, which was awesome. And part of it was just that physical stress from the year we've had, or the couple of years that I've had anyways. So I'm happy to answer any questions or.
Yeah, let's do questions at the end after we each share. Okay. That'd probably be great.
All right.
Maggie, that was beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Really, and, really well articulated.
The power of Akam and the power of Krishnaji and Preetiji and just the kindness and thoroughness of all the dasas. It's just beautiful. Okay. Bless you guys. Love you.
Linda.
Well, thank you, Maggie. That was a revisit of so much. And it really helped me to sort of tap into all the gifts, or at least a good part. I said this when I was in India, that I was there for the 4 weeks as well. And the whole thing felt like surgery, felt like literally like there was a whole brain change surgery going on. And the whole month or more leading up to my going felt like the pre-op. That it was literally, I mean, so many times I sat there going, oh, you know, when that happened, wow, it prepared me for this. Oh, when that happened, it prepared me for that. And so, and a lot of it was, you know, the life that we've been living and realizing the life we've been living since COVID and how, you know, 2 years is a long time to literally the brain sort of had changed into this sort of kind of protective, fearing others, sort of disconnection. And in a very short period of time, that all just started melting. Like it literally felt like a thaw. And, you know, as far as the surgery there, the best I can say is I literally felt physical. Like I pretty much every day had tremendous energy and feeling in my third eye and in this whole frontal lobe. And I kept, you know, my go-to is, oh, I need a couple of Bayer aspirin. And so I would literally go there every day. Like I need to take some aspirin, and something would say, oh, this isn't really a headache. This is something happening neurologically that I just need to sit with. And it wasn't all that uncomfortable, but I my headaches tend to go into migraines. And so, you know, that's probably why I initially, you know, would go there. And yeah, I mean, it was a brain change. There's just no question about it, which as Maggie was saying, you know, these grooves go so, so deep. And it was so nice for you, Maggie, to remind me of that, because it's not like the grooves are gone. The grooves are still there. I've been sort of shocked because being in India, it felt like, oh my God, it was all wiped clean. And it was. And yet there's still the grooves. So, you know, coming back has been really interesting for me. I haven't really shared a lot. I'm about to do a couple of Ikkim cities today and share more about it. So I feel like, a lot of it for me has been sitting and sitting alone. That in and of itself has been kind of a bit of shocking to my system feel, because I was with 65 or more people every day, day in and day out, a roommate day in and day out, and to come home with nobody here. And a lot of my friends don't want to be around me because they want me to quarantine. And so it's been a bit shocking. And the outer world hasn't stopped. I got here. I have no vehicle. The one vehicle I have had a flat tire, completely dead battery. Work has been full on, no assistant. She doesn't want to be around me because she wants me to quarantine. So it's been challenging. I mean, it's not like the challenges stop. And they said this is exactly what was going to be, that, you know, it's not like the world changed, not yet. I mean, we're all in the process, but we've changed. And so, you know, like Maggie was just sharing, it's the response that's different. And for me, because there's still grooves, the initial response is very much the same. And if I get caught or snared in that, in any kind of longevity, it can feel like, wow, nothing's changed. But what has changed is it passes so quickly. So there's no real, I like to see it as like an airplane with vapor trails. There's no real vapor trail. The plane still goes by. And sometimes it's slower than I'd like. You know, I'd like it to be like that and gone. Sometimes it kind of slowly goes by, but it keeps moving. And before I know it, it's gone and there's nothing left of it. And what else? I guess for me, one of the more profound things about tapas is the detail of it. I mean, I literally felt like there was not one thing missed. And every moment of it, there'd be, you know, okay, now we're going to do this. And it'd be like, oh my gosh, they're just not missing a thing. And from past lives to, you know, dealing with our vasanas and, you know, stuff that we've been carrying that my ancestors have carried that came to me at birth, and seeing how so much of what I am, and I say that in terms of not the real me, but the me of what I carry in this body is really, it's nothing about me per se. It was just literally handed to me in my DNA. And I learned a lot from that, and also looking at my twin sisters who are identical and seeing that what they both carry is so different, and that yet they came from the same embryo. They were in the womb together. It just was such a great sort of way to see that so much of what we carry is, it has nothing to do with this lifetime, with how we were raised, how I was, you know, ignored, didn't get enough of this, didn't get it, you know, which is what so much of my life is focused on, right? And so many of us in therapy and just in the world as it is. I mean, that's as far as we can go in most of what we get. But not in tapas. I mean, it literally felt like there was a jackhammer kind of getting all the concrete, all the crust off so that you could go really deep into what the root of suffering is. And so much of life is just learning how to manage suffering. This was how to literally uproot the core of suffering. And it brought so much hope that I'd been waiting for. It literally felt like for lifetimes. The state of stitopragnia that Maggie was, and I'm probably saying it wrong too, but that Maggie was talking about, this unperturbed peace. We have a sadhana, of course, that I've been doing since I got on the plane. And I will say that as soon as I shut my eyes and go into that sadhana, I'm right back in the temple. I literally can smell it. I can feel it. It's in me. It's not here. It's in every cell of my body. And by the time I'm done with the sadhana, I'm completely in stitopragnia again. So it's a state that I feel like was deeply rooted in each one of us. And that, yeah, like Maggie was talking about, I mean, it's, you know, our part is the sadhana, and it's more than just sitting down and meditating, but I really see the importance of sadhana. When we do our part, grace comes in and it just completely floods the whole system. And we're right back into that beautiful state of stitopragnia. It gets perturbed. There's no question. I mean, again, I wish, you know, again, this is always my struggle, right? Like, I'm supposed to come back and be a completely, like, there's no struggle. No, there is struggle. I'm not going to lie. And yet, like I said, it's so quick. There's nothing lingering about it. And so, this, you know, what was sort of hammered, if you will, into us is that suffering, any form, whether it's teeny, tiny, medium, or absolutely enormous, any suffering is a complete waste of time. And I just see that so clearly. So even when I become perturbed, it just, that realization comes in so quickly, like this is a complete waste of time. And the sooner I can get back to that citta pragna, which again comes through grace and also comes through my sadhana, the better for all. I think that's about all I have to share. I just enormous gratitude. I wish it for all of us. I really do. I feel like it was super challenging, but at the same time, you know, Maggie with two hip or joint replacements, is one of our participants turned 75 while there. There were a lot of people that it was physically challenging for, including myself, but we all did it. And it was all by and through grace, and there was really no super big challenges with it. Nobody should be thinking they can't do it physically. It will happen if you've got any sort of pull or draw to go. It's just an amazing journey. And I can feel already that it's a journey that just keeps happening, keeps growing. So thank you. And yeah, just really grateful to be able to share with you guys. Thought of you guys every single day. Thank you.
Thanks, sister. I'll pop in. Thank you, Maggie and Linda, for going first. As most of you know, I had the kind of pre-topus happen before I left as well, because I got COVID and couldn't go. And I left my suitcase by the door packed for 2 weeks almost. And then I joined our family there, and it was, very, very, there was a distinct difference between those that arrived at the third week for 3 and 4 and those that had been there 2 weeks before us. And I could tell that they were operating at a very different state than we were when we arrived. And yet their state became a field that I got to flow into. So that was really beautiful. At the end of my fourth week, I did not want to come home. I wanted to start week 1 and 2. I really didn't want to come home. I'm like, isn't there something I can start now? I'm just saying that because if anyone has the opportunity, please go for all 4 weeks at a time. I saw the advantageousness of that. I feel like most of the time I can be really honest and say that I operate in the natural world, like a hummingbird. I'm not a sloth. I operate at a very high intensity of energy and flow and things getting done. And I don't know, you know, how I've done this, but I have for a long time. And I have a new operating system completely. It's not a hummingbird. Though I feel like I'm getting at least as much done, it's the operating system is very, very different because the foundation is that state of equanimity. It's really foundational and it feels very embedded. And like Linda and Maggie said, I experienced the physical cellular change happening. I felt the brain change happening every day that I was there. I would wake up and feel it. I got thoroughly rearranged. And I often have big burning bushes. I have the mystical experiences. I have, you know, somebody has to walk me out because I'm in a state. I didn't really have that, and I'm really grateful. What I experienced happened very quietly. It happened on a very deep level. It happened in the marrow of my consciousness. And I felt it. And I felt it easing in deeper and embedding itself more every single day, every process. And one of the Dasas was checking in with me last night, and I said, I feel like this new operating system is this deep, slow-moving, flowing river. And it's that state. And yeah, I didn't come home to a few days off. I came home to a lot of work to do and a lot of focus and catch up. And I also came home to an empty house like Linda at the ashram. Like, I was like, where's my peeps? You know, meeting in the hallway for hugs or sitting at tables, just looking at each other as we ate. I definitely missed that. I definitely had a lot of an adjustment to go through coming home. And that state is such a profound resource. It's just there. It's there. It's there. It's there. And as challenges arise, I am meeting them from an automatic, totally different place. There's no, like, I'm a pretty excitable hummingbird, you know? And it's like this beautiful, even keel. I feel like my cells are smiling. My heart is smiling. All the parts of my brain are smiling. And it's coming out in a very quiet way. Very, very different way. And I echo what my sister said. The precision, the laser precision of every single thing we did, the menu, the formula, it's perfection. It's really perfection. And the part that I found the most challenging wasn't sitting for hours. God bless my joints. God bless this body. I like thanked it every day. It was the intense concentration. And hummingbirds don't have to concentrate on any one thing for a very long time. So for me, the most challenging aspect was the intense concentration, awareness, presence, staying with it, watching the mind try to pull me away, flip me this way and that way, and coming back so disciplined to what I was meant to be aware of, focusing on, whether it was the rising or setting of the sun or whichever mind obstruction we were working on that week. It didn't matter. That was it. And it became easier and easier every single day as that state became the bedrock, the new foundation of this person called Leah. I had a couple of really cool revelations there. Like, you know, most of my life, I have been focused on trying to help humanity stop suffering in a number of ways since I was quite young, even in high school. And I was on the top floor of the temple listening game. How can you possibly help anyone stop end their suffering when you are in a suffering state? You have to be enlightened to help anyone. And literally it was so ridiculously, you know, absurd to think that I could have helped. And so I am so dedicated. I'm very clear. And I feel kind of fearless in a really, like, from my heart sort of way, like with, I have this new courage, and I feel like that's a new part as well that's been embedded. You know, when we listen to the teachings, it's really beautiful. There's no notebooks, and I am a very avid note taker, like verbatim, because as a child, I really struggled with comprehension, and I didn't barely write a note. I didn't have a notebook in a classroom the way they asked us. And what came in as consciousness. It didn't come in as words and information and wisdom. It literally came in as consciousness. And some of the stuff that I can say, like, I don't remember hearing it, but it's there. It's inside of me. So I know I didn't miss one thing. And in one of the groves that we sat in and heard a beautiful teaching from Ananda Giri, one of our teachers, one of the greatest pieces that I came home with in my own personal commitment to this path, to through all of its processes until I take my last breath, is to harm no thing. nothing, not my own self, not another, not any life form. And I feel that is really different than my goals of past. And it really isn't about the states that I go into. It's about my responsibility to harm no thing and to be on this journey together in a very collective way. And you guys, it is happening. It works. It's working. It's true. We can trust them. My other two words are truth and trust. So I am here for anyone who's ready for their next step, whatever that might be. I'm 1,000% in and immensely grateful. Immensely grateful. And I've already booked my flight to go back to do week one and two in June. So if any of you want to come with me, please. Yeah, let's do it, Marian. So thank you so much. And Paula and Linda, it's so beautiful to see you. Like, I really miss our family. It's really beautiful to have you. Mwah.
Okay, now I'm going to read from the Four Sacred Secrets by Preetaji and Krishnaji. And this is about living with a spiritual vision. So, when we are in a beautiful state, and that's described as experiences of calm, connection, passion, joy, vitality, and inner peace. And then when we are not in a beautiful state, our default state is stress or suffering. We have all lived in stress and disconnection and have contributed to the chaos in our personal lives and the lives of the people around us. We have also lived in a beautiful states of connection and have contributed to the well-being of the world and ourselves. In our years of observation of consciousness and its manifestation in life, we have noticed a reoccurring pattern. Undoubtedly, suffering or stressful states is destructive, and beautiful states of calm are rejuvenating and life-giving. Time and again, we have noticed that the more a person lives in a suffering state, the more life becomes like a tangled net from which there seems to be no escape. Problems mount, confusion mounts, chaos mounts. Life becomes an endless battle. When we prolong suffering states of frustration, disappointment, jealousy, or hate, every aspect of our lives feels off kilter. We battle with our families, battle at work, battle with the government. In suffering states, we feel as if the forces of the universe are hostile to us. No matter what decision we make or what action we take, we find life heading towards greater and greater chaos. We have also seen on innumerable occasions that when we live in a beautiful state, magical synchronicities begin to unfold. Here, you might be wondering, what is a synchronicity? Synchronicities are meaningful coincidences. They are favorable and harmonious occurrences that happen in alignment with your intention. It feels as if the randomly moving universe is arranging itself in patterns in response to your heart's longing to support you. In a beautiful state, we become more creative, and incredible solutions to challenges arise. Our damaged relationships heal, and nourishing new relationships emerge. Our thinking becomes clearer, our intellect becomes sharper, our minds become more peaceful, and our hearts move into a space of connection. If you are feeling overwhelmed by the concept of a beautiful state, or unsure if you have understood it correctly, remember that a beautiful state refers to a rich range of experiences. It can begin as serenity, happiness, gratitude, love, or courage. The essence of a beautiful state is the absence of conflicting inner chatter, a greater presence to life, and a richer connection to the people around you. As you evolve further, you can awaken to transcend states such as peace, transcendental states. You can awaken to transcendental states such as peace, stillness, compassion, joy, and fearlessness. In these states, you are in a flow with life. You awaken to the oneness and the interconnection of all existence. The more powerful the state, the more easily you impact the fabric of consciousness to manifest your aspirations. And that's the completion of our reading for today from the Four Sacred Secrets by Preetaji and Krishnaji.
Well, that's pretty interesting, because what I get out of that too is as you know yourself, you know, what makes you angry or upset or anxious. Once you know certain things about yourself, you've got the power to change from a not so beautiful state, or what they call a suffering state, to a state of, as Maggie said, unperturbed calm, where you can remain calm through situations and rise above them and be joy, full of joy or happiness, which is a beautiful state. So then you get to make your choices.
Right. Yeah. And I do think that being able to have an influence upon the people that we're communicating with or living with is huge. If one person in the household can stay calm through no matter what's happening around them, I think it lessens the intensity of everyone else's reactions to perturbances or life happening.
Yeah, I mean, it's just we get into these defensive modes if there's a conflict going on, and now it's like a war. It's literally. So if we could remain, at least one person, remain calm and perhaps say the right things in return to the other person, or just listen,
or be able to be an empathic state.
There you go.
Where you may not say anything, but you might feel what the other person's feeling. And to me, I know when I'm upset and someone is giving me empathy, it helps me change the way I'm reacting. So. Mm.
All right. I wonder if we want to do a meditation at this point.
Sure.
Do we want to try a meditation maybe from Ecom?
Yeah, from YouTube.
That would be nice. Yeah, we haven't done one of those in any of our shows yet. So let's try a YouTube meditation.
Namaste.
welcome to the beautiful state of gratitude. What is gratitude? And why gratitude? How do you awaken to it? Gratitude is certainly not an attitude alone. For when it limits itself to an attitude, it is shallow and it is a mere cosmetic. Gratitude is a state of consciousness in which you celebrate life. Without gratitude, life is meaningless and lonely. You feel poor in the midst of plenty. And in my experience, gratitude is the easiest way to arrive at love. As you nurture gratitude, you feel a deeper sense of connection with people and with life itself. You awaken to gratitude when you see the interconnection of life. If we can reflect on our life, our learning, our comfort, and our joy, we can see that every one of these beautiful experiences has been made possible by the efforts and the love of so many people who care for us, and also by people whom we will never know and never meet. Without them, we are not. No experience in our life is independent of the other. There is not a moment, not a thing that we could say has been created by us alone. And we certainly have not created ourselves. Nor have we risen to greatness because of our efforts alone. In realizing the interconnection of our existence, gratitude moves beyond our lips. Gratitude moves beyond our conditioned mind to a space so deep in our consciousness that every moment spent in this awareness transforms you. Please sit in a comfortable position. Hold a gentle smile on your face, like a baby that smiles in its sleep. Breathe in slow and deep. Feel a gradual softening as your breath becomes slower and longer. Hold in your consciousness any one person who has lovingly nurtured you in your childhood. It could be a parent, a member of family, a neighbor, or even a pet. Thank that person or the being for the nourishment you have received. Thank them for being a part of your life. wish for their well-being. In your consciousness, hold any one person who has inspired you to being a better human being, what has inspired you onto the path of greater wisdom and love. Thank them for being a part of your life. Wish for their well-being. Hold within you one person who has made you feel wanted and loved. Thank that person for being in your life. Wish for their well-being. Hold in your consciousness one person who's contributing to your prosperity and growth. Thank that person for being in your life. Wish for their well-being. Feel Mother Earth. Feel her in your heart. Thank her for sustaining and upholding your existence. In this state, connect to the presence, the source, or the universe. Feel connected to the eternal flow of life, of which we are all parts. You may slowly open your eyes whenever you're ready. This is a season of gratitude. Please take a few moments and write a letter to any one person today about how much they've impacted you and made your life more beautiful by their presence. If you choose to, you may show them your thankfulness through an act of love or kindness. If they are not alive to receive your act of kindness, pay it forward to someone else. Have a beautiful day and a beautiful life. Thank you. Namaste. As a child, on an average, we have smiled around 400 times a day. As an adult, we smile less than 15 times a day. What a loss. We've lost the art of smiling, laughing. But why? What science is showing us right now is the more we smile, the happier we become. Let us understand gravity here. In simple terms, gravity is the downward pull. If we look around us, what is defying gravity? If we look around, the trees are defying gravity. They are growing and they're surging into the skies. Young children and young adults are defying gravity. They are still growing. They are still alive. In our everyday experience of life, there is one place where we constantly give into gravity. It is the downward tug or the downward pull of our lips. Let us now bring a conscious effort and smile. When we smile, we do not give into gravity. When we smile, we are conquering the downward pull. And we need to smile more consciously and bring more life into our living. I always hear people saying this. I need a reason to smile. I need something funny happening around me for me to smile. But is it really true? A young person recently told me that smiling is not fashionable anymore. And even on social media posts, you don't see people smiling. But smile is a gift that nature has given to us. And as we smile, involving our lips, cheeks, and eyes, we release happy hormones, the serotonin and the endorphins, making us happier and making us healthier. Let us begin with this simple act of bringing a conscious smile onto your face. Let us take a few moments now and let us smile for no reason. Take three slow and deep breaths. Inhale and exhale. For the next three breaths, we will consciously smile as we exhale. Inhale, as you exhale, smile along with your lips. Allow your cheeks to join the smile. Inhale. As you exhale, smile. Along with your lips and cheeks, let your eyes join the smile. I can assure you, you look far more beautiful smiling than if you did not. Inhale. As you exhale, say to yourself, I am at peace. Inhale. As you exhale, say to yourself, I am in joy. Inhale. As you exhale, say to yourself, I feel love within. To flower into a new consciousness, to wake up to the extraordinary potential of being human, is the ultimate destiny of every human being. Let us begin our evolution with a conscious smile.